Several years ago, my wife started making these little mason jars, and she'd put slips of paper down in there. And as a family, whenever we had we'd received a blessing, God did something for us or answered prayer or did those things, we would write that down on that sheet of paper and just drop it in the jar. And that was our blessing jar. And then, you know, we'd have one for every year. And you could go back in and open up that jar and just pull out a piece of paper and see, hey, I didn't even remember that happened, but now I can remember what God did for me. Because a lot of times in life, it's pretty easy for us to forget, isn't it? God can come through and do something great for us, and in 2 weeks, we don't remember it. You ever been reading your Bible one morning, and you're asking God to speak to your heart, change you, and God shows you something in His Word that just excites you, and you're really excited about it, and you can't wait to tell somebody about it, and then you get in a conversation with somebody, and you're about to tell them what you got out of your Bible this morning, and you're thinking, man, what was that? And there's something life-changing. It was so good. What was it? Because we forget, right? As human beings, we forget. We need to turn to Matthew 21 this morning, Matthew 21, to get into the message this morning. Jesus Christ is about to ask His disciples to do something that if I were to ask you to do the same thing, you would think I was being absolutely unreasonable. And if I were to ask you to do it, you wouldn't want to. And you would think I was crazy, and you probably would say, that guy, hope pastor doesn't have him back because he's got problems. But Jesus Christ asks His disciples to do something that we would consider kind of unreasonable. But He does it nonetheless. Matthew chapter number 21, we'll start reading in verse number 1. And when they drew nigh to Jerusalem, they were coming to Bethpage unto the Mount of Olives. Then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway He will send them. And this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and the colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went, and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass, and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, others cut down branches from the trees, and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And again, humanly speaking, as we look at this circumstance, we would think that this is a very odd request. Now, I have a car. It is a 2014 Chevy Cruze, and it has been wrecked, and I bought it after it was wrecked, and it was kind of fixed, but not totally fixed, you know? Then I've backed my truck into it, and the wheel well has fallen out, and there's several issues with this vehicle. And it's not the greatest car on earth, but it's my car, and it's paid for, paid off. I don't owe anything on it. It gets me from point A to point B. It's my car, and I kind of like it because it is cheap on gas and all these things. It's my transportation. Now, if you were to come to me, maybe out in the parking lot, I don't have it with me this morning, you definitely wouldn't get my truck keys because I really like my truck. God's provided me a really nice truck. But my car, if you were to come to me and say, hey, can I have your car keys? And I would say, excuse me? Can I have your car keys? Why do you want my car keys? Well, because I'm going to take your car. What do you mean you're going to take my car? Well, the Lord has need of your car, so I'm going to take it. And I'm going to say, I don't think so. This is my car. You know, I paid for this car. It's my car. You don't get my car, you know? If you said, hey, I just need to borrow it for a few minutes, maybe I would let you. But, you know, if you say, hey, I'm just coming to take your car, I don't know that I'm going to let you do that. Now, That's kind of an odd request, but could you imagine being on the other side of that request? Being the one who is going to someone and saying, hey, I need your keys. Excuse me? I know this is a little bit weird, but God needs your car, so you're going to have to give me the keys. Now, would you want to be the one to go do that? I can tell you that if God were to speak to me and say, hey, go to that guy over there and take his car. And then if he asks you, hey, what are you doing? Tell him I need it and everything is going to be okay. Can I tell you that I would be a little taken aback by that? And I wouldn't necessarily want to go do that because that seems a little bit out of the ordinary. I am a little bit socially awkward, if you've never noticed that before. Just a little bit socially awkward. I don't like one-on-one interactions with people I don't know because I get really nervous and I'm afraid I'm going to make myself look like a fool. So I have so many reasons in my brain that I should not do something like that, you know? It just doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't fit my personality. I mean, I could keep going all day and telling you reasons why I should not be the one to do this. But that's exactly what Jesus asks of his disciples. Have you ever had God ask you to do something that just didn't seem to be normal? Has he ever spoken to your heart? Maybe the Holy Spirit of God spoke to your heart in a certain situation and said, hey, you need to speak to that person, share the gospel with them. You're impressed inside that you should talk to this person. And now you have a decision to make, right? You're either going to go out of your comfort zone and you're going to do what the Holy Spirit of God was leading you to do, or you're going to say, God, don't you know that I'm socially awkward? God, don't you know that this doesn't fit my personality? God, I don't like strangers. God, what are you thinking? And by that time, the opportunity is passed. So sometimes in life, the reality is that God may ask us to do things that are a little bit out of the ordinary. But here's the deal. God always knows why he is asking you to do something out of the ordinary. Now, listen, if I ask you to do something out of the ordinary that doesn't make sense, then, hey, I don't have a problem with the fact that you didn't do it. But when God asks you to do something that's out of the ordinary, then we ought to be willing to do it. You see, these men who had been with the Lord through so many things, we saw in our on the verse that was on the board earlier that we read, they saw all the wonderful works. They saw all the great things that Jesus had done. These are our first-hand accounts. They saw these things. So when Jesus asked them to go and do something out of the ordinary, they did not have a little powwow where these two got together and said, well, listen, I'm not the one who's talking. You know, if he asks, you have to be the one to tell him because I'm not going to do it, okay? Now, listen, when we get there, you're going to have to be the one to get the rope because I don't want them calling the cops on me. You know, are you sure that we ought to be doing this? You know, we could probably go to jail, be whipped, you know, stealing someone's transportation. This is a really big deal. I'm not sure we should be doing this, but you know what? It can't be stealing because God already owns it, right? God owns everything. It's already his. So they didn't stop and have this powwow and try to make excuses for what it was that they were supposed to be doing, asking Jesus, now, are you sure? Are you sure? Okay, now this is a little bit strange. Could you tell me the exact color of this donkey? You know, like, what do the ropes look like? You know, I want to make sure I don't take the wrong one. And coming up with all kinds of excuses, you know, Jesus says, hey, you two, I want you to go. One of them's doing this, looking around like this. Are you sure it's me and not somebody else, God? You know, they didn't have that. Why is that? It's because they knew who Jesus Christ was. And they trusted him. They had faith in him. They believed him. So when he asked them to do something out of the ordinary, it was okay with them. And they immediately did it. In verse number 6 it says, and the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. It doesn't record a long conversation about why or why we should not do this thing. It was just an immediate obedience because they knew who Jesus Christ was. They trusted him. And if he said to do it, they were going to be willing. There's another group of people mentioned in this portion of Scripture. And it's those, the Bible says in verse number 8, they're a very great multitude, spread their garments in the way. You know, it doesn't really make sense to me for this to happen, because back in this day, people didn't have multiple sets of garments. You know, as our brother was saying this morning about the wife who says, I don't have anything to wear. Well, back then, you only had one thing to wear, and that's what you wore. You know, you might have had a couple of different garments, but you didn't have many, because garments would have been pricey. They would have been something that you didn't waste. They were something that you took good care of, because they were important. You're going to die if you don't have a garment, right? And these people, seeing Jesus Christ on the back of a donkey, as he's getting ready to ride that donkey into Jerusalem, they see him, and they immediately begin to lay down their valuable garments on the road for this donkey to walk over. Others took palm branches and they strewed them out on the path that Jesus was riding on. Why would they do that? And I would submit to you again, is because they knew who Jesus Christ was. But you know, sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget what God has done for us. Sometimes there are areas in life where maybe God asks us to do something out of the ordinary that we immediately obey. Because things are going well for us spiritually. We're in a good place spiritually. And then there are other times when Jesus says, hey, I want you to do something out of the ordinary. And we say, what? Me? God, that doesn't make sense. God, this might get me in trouble with the authorities. God, there are 100 different reasons why I should not be doing that. Why do we have those moments? And I believe, and I submit to you this morning, this because we kind of forget who God is. We kind of forget what God has done for us. What about those folks who were laying their garments down on the ground? You know, they were valuable to them. And not to be discussing this morning, but you think about what's going to happen to those garments as that donkey and that colt walk by. They're going to be soiled by the waste of these animals. But yet, these people were willing to do that. Why? It's because they knew who Jesus Christ was, and they knew that he was worthy. So their praise, their worship for him, they couldn't do enough to express their appreciation, to express their adoration for Jesus Christ, because they knew who he was. But think about this morning. You know, there are some times in life that it is easy to stand up and to praise God. There are times when we are just in a spirit to worship and we can lift our voice to the Lord. I think of times like being at the prayer advance, if you've ever been to a prayer advance, where everybody is singing out. Man, you can just get wrapped up in praising God in a situation like that. Man, you feel close to God. You feel like you're in His presence. And man, it's easy in that case to lift up our voice and to praise God. But what about you this morning? We had an opportunity to lift our voice and praise God. We sang two congregational songs. But where were you at in your worship? Was it easy for you to praise the name of the Lord, to recount what Christ has done for us, lead me to Calvary? Was that easy? Again, I don't know. I was sitting on the front row looking forward. I have no idea who was singing and who wasn't, but God knows. And you know. Was your worship this morning where it ought to have been? I don't know. But maybe this morning, if it wasn't, it's because you've kind of forgotten what God has done for you. You've kind of forgotten who God really is in your life. Now, these people, the disciples who were asked to go and find this donkey, along with the crowd of people who are gathered together to celebrate Christ's triumphal entry, they were people who had just seen some miraculous things happen. If you would, turn over into John chapter number 12 with me this morning. John chapter number 12, this is the same story, just a different account that is given. And in verse number 12 of John chapter number 12, we find, "On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they had heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, 'Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord.' And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitteth on the ass colt.' These things understood not his disciples at first, but when Jesus was glorified, they remembered that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him." Verse number 17, "The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead bear record." They're telling people what happened. "For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle." Now, when we see what happens here in John chapter number 12, we have to understand that John chapter number 12 follows John chapter number 11 in the story of Lazarus as Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. So we have this group of disciples who has just seen Jesus literally, physically raise a dead man back to life. I have never seen anything like that in my life. I don't think you have either. But these people did. Literally. Lazarus was dead. He was in the tomb. And the Bible says in John 11 that he stinketh. I mean, he was dead. And Jesus spoke life back into his dead body. What an amazing thing. Do you think it would be easy to do what God asks you to do after you just saw him raise someone from the dead? You know, it could be like this. You know, I just watched Lazarus raise, and Jesus says, "Hey, I want you to go fly." I don't know how I would do it, but I would do it because he commanded it, you know? That's just the way it would be. I just saw Jesus do this. He has evidently proved that he's God. Man, this is a mountaintop experience. Whatever you say, God, I will do it. And that's the circumstances that these disciples had just come out of. So when Jesus said, "Hey, I want you to go do something that's out of the ordinary," they said, "Yes, sir." And they went and they obeyed. Maybe when Jesus asks you to go do something that's out of the ordinary, maybe it's because he wants to do something that's extraordinary in your life. You see, we don't know why God asks us to do things that are out of the ordinary, but he does. And his plan is always right. His plan is always best. So when God says, "Hey, I want you to do this," instead of standing back and saying, "God, I don't think you know what you're doing," we need to just simply remember who God is. We need to simply remember what God has done for us and be as these disciples and just immediately obey, although in the moment it doesn't make sense to us. God knows what he's doing. It's an amazing thing to think of these people and the mountaintop experience that they have just gone through. But you know, this second group of people, they've all also gone through this mountaintop experience. Now, we don't know how many of them were there. They certainly, I don't think, were all there, because the Bible tells us that those that had seen Lazarus raised from the dead bear record. What were they doing? They were testifying. They were testifying as to what they saw Jesus do. You think about that. You have people who are standing there telling everyone else what they saw. You imagine a guy say, you know, just a few days ago, we buried him, we put him in the tomb, he was dead. I'm telling you, he was dead. I've seen dead before, and this guy, he was dead. And Jesus just spoke and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he gets up out of that tomb, and he starts walking out, and that's him. He's right over there. People going up to Lazarus, hey, Lazarus, so what did it feel like to be dead, man? You know, that'd be pretty weird. What does it feel like? You know, and he's talking, telling everybody the whole circumstance and what's going on. Now, do you think if that conversation was taking place with you in the room, that it'd be pretty easy to know and understand who Jesus Christ is? It'd be pretty easy to understand that he's God and he is worthy of our praise. It'd be pretty easy to remember who he is. And I submit to you, that's why these people readily took their garment off and laid it in the road for Jesus to walk over on the donkey, because they knew who Jesus was. They knew what Jesus was capable of doing through their life. They knew that he was worthy of the praise and the adoration that they were giving him. You see, it's easy to do that when we're on a mountaintop, isn't it? It's really easy to do the extraordinary when God speaks when we're on a mountaintop. You know? It's really easy to praise the Lord and to sit and to sing out and to worship Him and to praise Him and to lift His name up. It's really easy to do that when we're on a mountaintop. But you know, things change pretty quick, do they not? These people were about to witness the fastest change in circumstances that any human being has ever witnessed in their life, as they see Jesus praised as he enters into Jerusalem. And just a few days later, the same crowd is saying, crucify him. Crucify him. Give us Barabbas. It's an amazing thing, that change, how rapidly it went from people praising God to people cursing Jesus Christ. Things can change pretty quick. And what we see in the life of the disciples, many of them, after Jesus Christ was crucified, I think of the two disciples on the road that Jesus spoke to. And as he's talking to them, they're bummed. Man, they are down and out because they can't believe that Jesus has died. They can't believe he's gone, when all the while he told them, listen, this temple is going to be destroyed, but in 3 days I'm going to rise again. He told them this over and over again, but yet they just weren't listening. They didn't hear what they didn't want to hear. But after he rises from the dead and they're down and out, why? Because this was Jesus. This was the one they thought would be their conqueror, would set things right. And now he's gone. And their lives kind of fell apart because they didn't understand God's plan. What Jesus did really was a little out of the ordinary as far as they were concerned. It wasn't what they expected. But what Jesus was doing was something extraordinary. He was dying for their sins. He was buried. He was risen to walk in newness of life so that we can have the same thing. And they didn't realize what was going on. So in the middle of their trial, they began to feel sorry for themselves. So this isn't what I thought was going to happen. And you know what? In those moments, those are not the times that God asks us to do something extraordinary or out of the ordinary and we obey. Those are not the times that you don't see those disciples walking along the road praising the name of God, because they're down and they're out. And what in reality has happened is they've forgotten who Jesus was. They had forgotten what Jesus was on this earth to do. If they had remembered, then they would have been walking along that road praising God and saying, we've won the victory. Jesus Christ has died on the cross, and it's 3 days later, so we're looking for him because we know that he promised he was going to rise again. Praise the Lord, this is great. But no, that's not where they were. They were in unbelief. They were not trusting God because things didn't go the way that they thought. Those people who were putting their garments on the road, they certainly didn't remember who Jesus was just a few days later. Who they were willing to lay their garments down to be soiled by a donkey. And now they look at that same Jesus and say, crucify him. They'd forgotten who he was. And friend, again, it's easy for us to forget. Because hard times come in life, but what we have to remember is to do the same thing on the mountain that we do in the valley. To do the same thing in the valley that we do on the mountain. And what is that? That is, we need to remember who God is. And you know what? It doesn't matter if we're on a mountain or we're in a valley. God is still good. God is still powerful. God is still in control. And we need to praise Him just as much in the valley as we do when we're on the mountain. And we need to obey Him as much when we're in the valley as we do when we're on the mountain. And I would submit to you this morning that our valley circumstances and our valley experiences probably would be much shorter if we would do that. If we would praise God anyway. If we would obey God anyway, regardless of our circumstance. My, how things change. How things can become different in our lives. Just because of our circumstance. But you know, all the while, all the circumstances we go through, all the hard times we go through, all the heartache that hits our life, all of those things that crash against us in life. You know, none of that changes how good God is. None of that changes how worthy of adoration and praise He is. So why is it hard for us sometimes to obey? Why is it hard for us sometimes when God says, hey, I want you to teach a Sunday school class, or I want you to preach, or I want you to be a missionary. Or I want you to be a witness in your workplace. I want you to speak to that individual. Why is it so often that instead of immediate obedience, we start to be the disciple who has all the questions? Speak to that individual. Tell them about me. God, I don't think that person likes me. So they probably won't listen to me, God. Speak to that person. God, that person doesn't look like me. That person's from a different culture. They're not going to understand. I want you to give this person some cash. They're going through a hard time. But God, if I do that, I'm not going to have any money left. I want you to do this. But God, if I do that, I want you to be a missionary. But God, if I do that, I'd be giving up a really good income. I'd be moving across the ocean to a place where I don't even know if they have computers. And I do IT. You know, like how is this going to work, God? It doesn't make any sense. But can I tell you, if God is asking you to do something out of the ordinary, it's because He wants to do something extraordinary with your life. And friend, we need to remember who God is. We need to remember how good God is. And we need to immediately obey. Even if what we see seems to be a little bit out of the ordinary. And we need to praise God. We need to worship God. You see, that's what we come together for as a church, is it not? To worship God. And we can worship God in a whole lot of different ways. How is your worship? These people, they worship God by shouting, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This wasn't necessarily a proper gathering where everyone was somber. And, you know, they were very careful and quiet. I believe they were calling out, praising Jesus because he was worthy. They knew who he was. They had seen the things that he had accomplished in their lives, in the lives of others, and it caused them to cry out. Friend, we just need to remember who God is. We need to remember how good he is to us. We need to remember what he's capable of. We need to remember where he's taken us from, but we also need to remember where he can take us to. There's a third group of people this morning that we need to look at. In verse number 20 of chapter number 12, it says, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. And the same came, therefore, to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, 'Sir, we would see Jesus.'" These are our Greeks. These are our people who don't really necessarily understand the culture. They just know that something big is going on. They're coming to worship. Maybe they're converts into Judaism. I'm not exactly sure. But there are people who are outsiders there. And they're coming to Jerusalem to worship. And they see this circumstance play out in front of them. They hear and they see Lazarus. And they hear what Jesus has done for him. And they look at that and they say, "Wow, something amazing has happened here." And they see all these people with their garments laying them down on the ground. And they see the palm leaves laid on the ground. And they see the worship and the adoration and the way these people feel about Jesus Christ. And they see that. And their statement is, "We would see Jesus." We don't really understand or know who he is, but man, we want to know him. We want to see him. Can you take us to him? Can we speak to him? We need him in our life. And can I tell you that group of people is watching us. And they're watching our worship. They're watching what we have to say about Jesus Christ. They're watching us praise God. They're watching the things that Jesus Christ has done in your life. They're watching how you respond when Jesus asks you to do something that's maybe a little bit out of the ordinary. They're watching, they're seeing what's going on. And because of the way that these disciples handled themselves, because of the way this crowd handled themselves, it caused people to want to come to Jesus Christ. And friend, the same thing ought to be true about us. Our obedience to Jesus Christ, or lack thereof, has an effect on the people around us. Our worship of Jesus Christ, or not, has an effect on the people around us. You know, Christians today, many Christians, look no different than the world. And I'm not saying in the way that they dress, necessarily even in the things that they say. I think those are secondary issues. But you know what? There ought to be something different about our life. There ought to be something about our life that causes people to look at us and causes them to be drawn to Jesus Christ. And if there's not, then I submit to you this morning that we need to remember who God is. We need to remember what he's done for us. And we need to begin to worship him and give him the praise and the glory that he is due. We need to start obeying him. And that time when the Holy Spirit of God pricks your heart and says you need to speak to that person, friend, we need to immediately obey. You don't think that's going to have an effect on the heart of that person? Why would the Holy Spirit of God prick your heart to tell someone else about Christ? We come up with all kinds of reasons why. It's just the devil. The devil's trying to get me to embarrass myself. Really? I don't think so. Why would the Holy Spirit of God prick your heart to share the gospel with someone? Why would that happen? Is it because God's trying to embarrass you? Is it because God wants to make you look like a fool? Is it because, I don't know, you can come up with a whole lot of different excuses as to why you won't, but I'd say that none of those things actually fit the circumstance. I said, the Holy Spirit of God is pricking your heart to share the gospel with someone because at that moment they need to hear the gospel. And God knows it. That doesn't mean they're always going to come to Christ, but I mean, that's the point in their life that they need to hear the seed. The seed needs to be planted in their life. You see, we don't know what God is doing. We don't know what the outcome is going to be. But maybe because you are obedient in that thing that seems a little bit uncomfortable, seems a little bit abnormal, maybe what's going to happen is you're going to cause someone to say, we would see Jesus. I don't know what you have in your life, but friend, I need it. I don't know why you have joy in your life when everything else in life is falling around, but I want what you have. We would see Jesus. Is your life causing people to want to see Jesus? If it's not, then it should be. It should be. And friend, it should bother us this morning if that isn't true about us. It should cause us to want to remember who Jesus is. Remember what He's done for us. Remember what He can do through us if we'll just be obedient. How's your obedience? How's your worship? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around. Has the Holy Spirit of God spoken to your heart this morning? You know, the key to this passage of Scripture is the obedience of those two men. Those two disciples who did that which was out of the ordinary. But can I remind you this morning that the Bible multiple times mentions that the reason that these things happened, they were a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. And what that tells me is this, that Jesus was going to ride into Jerusalem that day on a donkey. And that was going to happen whether those two men were obedient or not. Two other men would have gone and would have gotten that donkey. So friend, when you are not obedient, God is not the one who is losing out. It's you. Maybe there's a donkey in your life that God wants you to let loose. Maybe there's something out of the ordinary that God is calling you to do that you just need to be obedient about. Or maybe this morning, you've sensed an urgency to do something about your worship. Friend, God is worthy of our adoration. He is worthy of our praise. He deserves for us to lift our voices and praise to Him. Friend, I would just ask you this morning to be obedient to the Holy Spirit of God as He deals with your heart. I'm going to ask the pianist to go ahead and begin playing a hymn of invitation. If God's spoken to your heart, just obey Him. Maybe the Holy Spirit is leading you this morning to sit right where you're at in your pew and do business with God. To get that issue of worship right. Do that issue of obedience right. Or maybe this morning the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to your heart. And like others, you need to stand up. You need to come forward. You need to kneel at the altar and do business with God. But friend, I just want you to be obedient this morning to whatever it is that God is leading you to do. Maybe there is something that seems a little out of the ordinary for you that God is speaking to your heart about even right now that you need to do. And friend, stop your excuses and just obey. Just obey. Maybe this morning you're here and you're on a mountaintop experience and it's easy to obey God. Then obey God. And maybe you're here this morning and you're in a valley. But friend, you need to obey God anyway. God is still God. God is still in control. God is still good. And this morning you just need to worship Him. And maybe internally, externally, whatever God's leading you to do, you just need to worship Him. Then you need to be obedient. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our adoration. Maybe this morning you're in that third group of those people who just need to see Jesus. Friend, can I tell you this morning that Jesus is available to be seen today? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you can accept Him this morning. You can be born again. Jesus Christ has already done everything that needs to be done for you to be saved. All we have to do is believe on Him. If that's a need of your heart this morning, we would love to be able to take the Bible and show you from God's Word how your sins can be forgiven. How you can know for sure that you have a home in heaven. Not according to what this preacher thinks or my opinion of things is, but what the black and white of God's Word has to say you need to do to be saved. Just be obedient this morning to whatever it is that God would have you do. Brother Vaughn, I'll turn it back over to you.